We can now see Commissioner Gordon, a WB CEO, says, yeah, it's gonna get better. And Sofia Vergara as Wonder Woman right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Gathered together from the cosmic regions of the universe, here in this great hall of justice,
are the most powerful
forces of good.
We're the powerful forces. Makes sense to me.
Good, good, really good, pretty good, nah.
Is that how it goes?
Mm. Welcome, everyone, to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We're at DC Movies SK, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. That is Zach on the ones and twos playing that sweet, sweet music. Let's get right into it, shall we? We have no Mike Kalinowski this week. He is out solving crimes and fighting villains. Solving crimes? He's solving crimes. He's fighting villains.
Solving villains, fighting crimes.
Solving villains who are fighting Ryan.
He's out in that mad city.
He's out in the mad, mad city. Follow him at Mike Kalinowski. I'm at Jay Quasto. That man right there, he's got the Joker t-shirt on. He is the host of Man vs. Child on FYI and FX Movie Download on FX. He's also a Wurstmacher for Doghouse Restaurants. He's Adam Gertler.
Thank you very much.
What's going on with your Band-Aids?
Oh, well, this one right here, this is a recovering from last week. I took a nice slice with a knife there.
Oh.
Sweet.
I'm a professional chef, but I was doing that thing where, like, I was just cleaning the blade, and as I was wiping the towel, the blade was also in contact with the finger, and that smarted something fierce. I mean, because, like, normally when you cut yourself, usually your biggest problem is, like, stopping the bleeding. It's not a pain thing.
Sure.
But you know this, working in the hospitals and stuff, right? Like, this was pain. Mm. This was white hot, cursing at nobody there, punching inanimate objects.
Did you get yourself
pain
under the nail? Is that
one? No. It was just along the finger.
No, you can see it. Stop showing it to
me. It was just very clean. But it was, I mean, and then I would have a bandage on for a couple of days, and I'd be like, oh, it's better. And then I would take the bandage off, and then the meat on the inside would start to protrude.
Stop.
A lot of nerve endings there.
Yeah.
The fingertips and the fingers have so many nerve endings, it's very sensitive.
Stop.
So the
Do
meat
I want
is
to
back
ask about
inside.
The other one?
The other one was just a little blister, and it was rubbing up against things, and I didn't want it to hurt me.
Oh, fair I enough. Get that. Yeah. I like that story better. Could you have lied about the first one?
Finger meat! That's my new DC villain name.
Well, speaking of... Nope, not gonna say finger meat. I just said finger meat. Next to Adam Gertler, the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show and the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkie, she's wearing a cut-off AC/DC t-shirt because why the hell not? Follow her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer because she's Roxy Stryer.
Yes, I'm punching people. And nicer news. So you're going to have a new introduction for me starting soon because I'm really excited. I'm starting over on Screen Junkies. I'm hosting a new show called Flash and Friends where we're talking about Flash, Arrow, Legend of Tomorrow, and Supergirl.
Oh, snaps.
That's once a week, Wednesdays, 1 p.m. We just pre-taped our first two episodes that recap season one and season two, and Jason Mewes is my co-host.
No way.
Jason Mewes is your co-host?
He is, and Joe Starr, who's also
over at
Screen
Junkies.
Oh, my God,
I'm a big fan. You have to let me come by and hang out sometime.
100%, you'll come on the show then.
Oh, that is so awesome.
So essentially, it's a whole TV Time episode.
Yeah, it's like literally my dream come true. Like a TV Time.
And by the way, shouldn't they do like a Supergirl and Friends or Flash and Friends animated show since they're already doing some of this animated stuff on the seed? Like, I would love to see the CW-verse animated in like a big just mashup Justice League style animated
I'm all in.
That's such a good idea.
Way to go. I love Joe Starr. I did the roast of Rick Grimes with him.
Right, right.
And actually him and I were talking earlier today because we'll talk.
So yeah, and also I'm really excited for today's episode because finally, for the first time in a very long time, we have TV Time where we actually get to talk about some episodes of television that aired in the DC freaking universe, which
That's
is
right.
awesome.
A couple of premieres. What, Lucifer and Gotham, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Already out.
Good.
And then more to come.
Yep. All right, but we also have some movie news.
There is movie news.
There's not a ton of movie news, but we have a little bit of movie news. Might as well start off with this. So WB CEO Mr. Bukes, I believe I said that correctly, Jeff Bukes, he shed some light on the DC movie universe. Now, of course, you have all the negative Nancy saying things like, oh, they're admitting that the movies aren't good. Bleh. He basically said his quote
One
was...
One more time?
Yeah, how was that?
Oh, actually, just read the quote in that voice, please. Yeah.
Jeff? That wouldn't make sense.
First
off, I'll say what Jeff said. I'll say what Jeff said. He said, the strategy worked. The execution did deliver what we wanted to do. We can do a little better on the creative. We're right on course or better.
You know, it's interesting that all these meanings come out, because this was another shareholders type thing. And while Kevin Tsujihara is the head of Warner Brothers Studios, this is the guy that's the head of Time Warner, encompassing Turner Broadcasting, HBO, Warner Brothers Studios, the big head of the conglomerate. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's talking, you know, fan service or lip service. And it makes sense. To me, this is very encouraging. Like, this is the kind of stuff you want him to be saying. And I also think it's very consistent with what Geoff Johns has been saying since he started Rebirth, since it was announced that he was the president of the creative at DC. Geoff Johns' message has constantly been the hope.
You said something interesting to me, though, about that Geoff Johns thing.
Oh,
that
I can't wait to hear what it
that
what
you
is.
made it feel like for you that he actually has a real job.
Yeah, okay. The reason I think that is because what Bukes is saying, it sort of echoes their whole company, you know, reorganization of strategy.
Yeah.
And that makes me think that Geoff Johns was paid a good amount of money and he actually has a serious job, and they realized maybe at first they tried to get it off the ground without bringing him into as legitimate a position as he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're readjusting, and this just seems consistent with the rhetoric since, you know, April post-BVS come out. Bukes also mentioned the Suicide Squad success.
Right.
Talked about the financial numbers, and he said the DC Comics characters have a little more lightness in them than maybe what you saw in those movies, so we're thinking about that. And then he boasted about Batman, saying the main thing was to launch DC and reinvigorate it with the fan base. The reboot of Batman with Ben Affleck was a big success. And so we take that as saying, yeah, we're not perfect, and we're excited about 2017, but I don't know if you saw all the slander online after. Like, I saw articles titled, Bukes admits DC sucks. Like, these, quote, journalists are, like, writing articles like this.
That makes me so happy that those people are typing, because if I did hear that voice, it would make me really mad. I would want to punch that person.
Pretty much what they say.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Did he say that it was on its way to making more than Avengers as well? Because that's not true. I did read that. Like, he said it just passed Winter Soldier.
Not in this article.
Well, it did. I think Suicide Squad now has made more money than Winter Soldier domestically.
Yeah,
at
but
least.
He said it had passed Avengers. It's on its way to passing Avengers.
He might have, which is not accurate. Right. But other Marvel movies, certainly. Certainly it's done better. But again, look, none of us really care. It's not about the money. We want to like the stories. We want to love the movies. We want them to be successful so they keep making more.
You as a fan easily can sit here and say that it's not about the money.
Sure.
They obviously don't share that sentiment.
Right, which is great for us, because presumably the better performance, the better story, the more money you'll make. You still want to cross that magic $1 billion mark.
Of course. So they want to make movies that everyone loves and adores, and that way more money will be made. The question is, it's a guessing game. What kind of movie can you make to make sure everyone's thrilled about it?
Clearly, they never heard mo' money, mo' problems.
First question for the chat roll. Which DC movie will be the first movie to gross $1 billion internationally?
You don't think it's going to be Wonder Woman?
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Wonder Woman.
Yes, definitely. I mean,
but again, if it's good.
If it's good.
If like, we get a week away from Wonder Woman and it's like, yeah, they're hearing it's good, then I think Wonder Woman will do the same thing as Suicide Squad.
I don't think Wonder Woman's going
to
quite get
okay,
there.
Okay, good. I like to hear this.
I think Justice League will, though.
I think that even if Wonder Woman isn't good, to be honest, if Justice League isn't good, then Justice League is screwed. But if Wonder Woman isn't good, then there's going to be some leeway there, because people are going to see Wonder Woman no matter what.
Batman v Superman, though? Which didn't even make $1 billion on its own.
Yeah.
You think
because we've had a Batman movie and we've had a Superman movie and we've never had a Wonder Woman movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying you're wrong. I do think it'll make $1 billion, but I'm hoping that it's going to be the first one
that's really good.
That's going to be critically embraced, because
yeah, me too.
I think another critical bombing is catastrophic. It's really going to be bad.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
I mean, I do think 2017. It's weird because we had BVS and Suicide Squad this year. But I'm kind of more excited now for 2017, because we got Wonder Woman and Justice League. Those are, I think they're going to not only do well with critics, but I have a feeling that they're going to do even better financially.
If they do well, if Wonder Woman does well and Justice League does well, and I'm not just talking about financially, but I'm saying they are received well, do you think people will look at BVS and look at Suicide Squad and remember them fondly and think like, oh yeah, those ones weren't as good, but they were pretty good? Or do you think that people will be like, wow, they've completely turned this 180?
I think it's going to be one of those like, let's look back on it and be like, okay, we get it now.
You know what? I'll tell you already, I've already changed my tune. Like, I already now put BVS above Suicide Squad. I think for a while when I first saw Suicide Squad, I thought they were neck and neck and maybe. And now Suicide Squad has not aged with me very well at all. Hmm. And now that my most recent memory of Batman v Superman is the director's cut, still, I'm not totally over the moon about any of them really at this point. And just from my point of view, doing this show, I love doing this show because I love doing it with you guys and I love communicating with our audience. But from my own point of view, it feels sometimes like I'm having to defend DCEU.
I know.
And it's like, that's not my job. That's not why I was brought in. We started doing this show before these movies started. Like, I'm a fan of the material. I have been for over 30 years. And I love the Marvel stuff as well. Like, I don't get paid.
You're only 27, so.
No, I'm 39. And I've been reading this stuff since I'm like 7, 8. So I go back a long way with this material, and I don't think I could do this show if they put out another movie that's not great. I'm just like, I'll be done at that point. Just
no, for my won't. Own. You will not be done.
I will be done. I'm saying it now with peace and love. Peace and love.
Is that question. Like, I'll be back, but I'll be
after
done.
Wonder, if I don't like Wonder Woman, I'm out. I'm finding a new hobby.
So if you're saying that, let's say the two movies we do next year, that we get next year, are essentially the same response as BVS and Suicide Squad. Is that not good for you?
I'm out. Okay. I just because of the stress of like have a feeling I have to be in a position to get behind or defend. And then conversely, I don't want to be in the position of being overly negative for a fan base, our fan base, that wants to embrace something.
Speaking of fan base, someone is in love with you in chat role.
Yeah, they think you're bae.
A gentleman named Sky Patterson.
How do you know it's a gentleman?
Because I see his picture.
He's got a picture.
It's a gentleman in a button-down t-shirt. He's
no, I mean, like, but you
my
guys get what I'm
Sky,
saying. Like,
so I assume that's
true. We're fans of this stuff. We want them to get it right. I feel like everybody's listening to hear. That's why this is such good news, because they're not trying to say like, oh, well, we thought it was really good. Like, I just want to hear a little honesty, a little change in rhetoric. So to me, yes, this is what he should be saying, but it's better than saying the opposite of what he should be saying. And you know whose name isn't mentioned at all? Zax. You know, he's saying the future is Ben Affleck's Batman, Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman.
Bye, Zach.
Not mentioning Zach so much.
Bye.
Which is, it's to be expected, I think.
I think you're right, too. It doesn't mean that he's not involved. It just means, like, it's just like with the Mel Gibson movie that's coming out. No, I don't want to make that comparison.
That's not going there.
I'm not going there.
Where it can go is the brand new picture of Commissioner Gordon, which we can all agree is pretty badass.
This picture was sweet. This picture was freaking sweet.
Dude, look at JK. You could see him almost bulging out of that jacket with his big muscles.
Wow. We got a nice little purple tint on it.
I can't wait to see his Gordon. I can't wait to see it because I wonder how he's going to take in just the constant metahumans, like one after one. Like he's so good at that sarcastic, wry wit that I can't wait to see how his Gordon wears that, because he's this really grounded guy, you know, unless they make Gordon a metahuman, which they totally should. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Not really.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say you're going to have to elaborate there.
Just keeping it positive there. Okay.
I agree, and I also love that this is the first image that we're really seeing of this, because, you know, a lot of times the first image is something that's leaked and somebody's making an awkward face and they're doing something weird and you can't really fully grasp them as the character, but this image is awesome. Just the setup, the artsiness of it all, I don't even know if that's a term, but I'm making it one. Like, it just looks so freaking cool.
Yeah, I mean, and
like,
look,
you could hang this as a poster on your wall and I would be so satisfied every day.
Zack Snyder have he's been really good at putting out pictures, though, since the beginning. Like, he always, that was his kind of thing, even from BVS. It's like, he wants the first picture to be a lit picture. Because, again, as we've said many times before, the guy is a visual guy. Like,
look at them pearls.
See all the Spider-Man stuff that's getting out now? That stuff is starting to annoy the heck out of me. And it happened with Captain America Civil War 2 and Suicide Squad. Like, I don't want all those, like, set picks, and you start piecing together the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't want much.
He's just
all.
Like, tell me nothing. It's just, it's like a tonal thing, and he looks like Gordon, and that's great. And it looks very, you know, it looks like a set. It doesn't look like it's in a real world, necessarily, but, like, It was great for Batman Day. And there was one with Zack
Snyder,
too.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it looks like it's in a real world.
Really?
Like, I'm totally in that world. Where they are, yeah. I want to be.
Yeah.
You mean because of the background? You mean
Yeah, it just kind of looks a little bit like, as I'm looking at it now, it looks like it's like on a
set. But nothing to distract us. Nothing to, like, I'm just looking. Here's my focus. I don't know. I love it.
Cool. So this was Batman. Did you guys do anything special for Batman Day?
I put out a couple of tweets.
Okay, you tweeted.
It. That's about all I had time for.
First, I wore my gym, my Batman shirt to the gym. That's got, like, you know, the one with the deep slit. So,
right.
So you know, I was wearing that.
Nice.
And I Snapchat in that. And then I put on another Batman shirt for the rest of the day. And I Snapchatted in that. And then when I was going to sleep at night, I put on my Batman sleeping shirt. And I Snapchatted with that.
What a story you told on Snapchat.
That is true. Oh. And every time I hashtag Batman, which doesn't make sense on Snapchat because you can't even click on it. But I wanted to give credit where credit was due, Batman.
To Batman.
So I started the day watching the movie Bone Tomahawk, which I then realized is like, well, you can spell the word Batman out of Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, that was crazy. When you said that, mind blown.
I was like, that was unintentional.
My mind was literally blown.
And so was mine. Trust me. So is mine when that movie kicked into gear. It's like really boring for an hour. And then then you're just like, whoa, that escalated very quickly. It is so graphic. It's so violent. And then I got in my Dodge Challenger, dressed in all black, and I sat in L.A. traffic for like 45 minutes.
And you just felt it.
Yeah.
You felt
Batman. I just sat in traffic.
Uh-huh.
It was a good Batman day.
Did Love you Snapchat it?
I don't know if I tweeted or Snapchat any of it.
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
There it is.
No, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
So
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
This is interesting. We have, Zach, if we could bring up that little interview, with Bryan Cranston, so...
Oh, from Geeking Out?
I think we should all just kind of watch this.
Oh, we're going to watch this?
He implied did he imply that he maybe turned on Commissioner Gordon? I don't know. Let's detect it. Let's see what's happening here.
Your dream character to play, villain-wise.
Villain-wise.
I'm interested in creating a role. I'd love to do
like
something
that
hasn't been done before. So
right.
Lex Luthor has been, there's been a lot of that. I've been asked to take a look at Commissioner Gordon, that sort of thing. And it's like, well, I would be one in several. And it's like, I kind of would like to carve out a new identity. Mr. Sinister has always been someone.
I love this Mr. Sinister idea. That's the X-Men.
That's such a weird deep cut to go to Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Especially when there are rumors that Mr. Sinister is in the third Wolverine film. And Bryan Cranston is not in the third Wolverine film. So I don't know what that means for that whole thing.
Maybe he's just fanning out.
Did you think about when he mentioned Lex? Do you think that was a response to how much he was associated with the role before it was cast? Or do you think that some of the rumors are true and that he turned it down?
That's what people are wondering. We've talked about this before, and the more I think about it...
Lex or about Gordon?
About Lex, specifically.
Okay.
The more I think about it, I have a hard time believing that Zack Snyder would just choose Eisenberg over Cranston. So that would make me think that maybe Cranston did happen to turn it down.
I'm going to agree with you.
There's no way Zack Snyder would turn it down.
I'm going to agree with you.
In this universe...
Yeah. Well, because I think a lot of that was probably tailored and changed after it was cast.
I disagree. I think that because every person, like, this is exactly what he wanted. He said it so many times. That was exactly his vision. I don't think that Bryan Cranston turned it down, and I don't think Bryan Cranston would turn it down.
I kind of think maybe he did. I don't know. There's just something about it. I don't think it was always supposed to be... what's his name?
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Isaacs. Jesse Eisenberg. Yes. Wow. I just blanked on that guy's name.
That's okay. He'll share a Jolly Rancher with you some other time.
Yeah.
Pop it right in
there. And the thing with, you know, back with, you know, there were parts of his performance I liked a lot. Just like overall, it didn't flow for me. But there were parts that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I still, I'm with the people that really, really, really hate that he knows that everybody is everybody and that he knows that Batman is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So I want like Zack Snyder to unceremoniously kill off Lex Luthor.
This is interesting.
Like Jimmy Olsen style.
Are you seeing what I'm saying?
What's that?
Dom's comment?
What is that? I'm looking at Tony Reyes.
No, I'm looking at Dom, who said Eisenberg is a bigger box office star than Cranston. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Sure.
I mean, if you put their box office movies together, absolutely. It doesn't, you know, it's not who's a better actor there, but yeah.
If you give me a choice between who I want to watch on the big screen, it's Cranston all day.
Sure, but you got the Facebook movie, you got Zombieland. Sure. What other big Eisenberg roles are there?
What did he just do?
Adventureland. Everybody's being a fan.
But I like what Tony Ray says, Cranston has dark side.
Damn. Cranston as Darkseid, just a voice, yeah.
Dude, Sky Patterson's really in love with you. Adam Gertler is my favorite host. No shade to the beautiful Roxy or Johnny or Mikey.
Oh,
Sky. All me and Mikey get. We don't get any compliments.
In all fairness, Sky, you spelled all three of our names wrong.
Yes,
you
sure
did. Oh, you know what? I think Sky's got creative spelling, and I don't think it's for you or any damn other person to say what is wrong.
A huge fan of Man vs. Child.
Huge. Okay, moving on. He's actually 9 years old. That's and he's been on the show.
Whatevs. Lego Batman poster in the house.
Yes.
Coming out February 10th, 2017.
In the house.
I got to tell you, when I talk to civilians, this is the Batman movie that people are excited about.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a girl yesterday that was such a big Will Arnett fan and was a total fan of the fact that they were doing this.
Yeah, what did you guys think about always be yourself unless you can be Batman? That seems to be what everybody's talking about.
That's perfect. It's great.
Yeah.
That's something
that people, I've seen memes everywhere. Always be yourself unless you can be Batman, then choose Batman.
Yeah.
That's like been everywhere for a while.
I saw another one this week. It's like mother talking to the child, me to my child. Even superheroes have to obey their parents, child. Batman doesn't. I thought that was quite funny.
Aww.
Good stuff. So, yep, we got the poster.
Boom.
Suicide Squad continues to make millions of dollars. What did you guys see on this link here? Because I actually did not get a chance. I think we're at 722 million.
We talked about this a little bit already today, just that Suicide Squad is doing pretty well, and you mentioned potentially that's beating the Marvel movies.
It's passed a good bunch of the Marvel movies.
It's past Winter
Spider-Man
Soldier.
2, right?
It's past Winter Soldier. And
So at 718.
Right.
No.
And it passed Sony's Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was at 708. But again, you know,
Spider-Man 2.
This doesn't all work.
Oh, did he? I'm so sorry.
I know what you mean. You're so focused on getting the answer. It's like he said, yeah.
So we're at 718 or 720 million right now.
718.
Yeah. What do you attribute that to? Do you think it's just the popularity of superhero movies in general, or is it a lot of like Will Smith, Margot Robbie power?
Yes. The latter.
Yeah.
I think
a lot more.
Chat roll, comment. What do you think? Why is Suicide Squad so successful?
I think maybe it does go down to people who know nothing about the comic book genre, but still, maybe there is still name power out there. Remember back in the day when, you know, I remember like Jim Carrey was getting $20 million for a film. Like, those days are over.
Yeah.
But there still is some name power left, I guess.
Also?
Yeah, without China. China, that's huge.
I think
BVS had China.
Huge part of this.
Who? Chat roll, somebody. Who could tell me what BVS made in China? That's interesting.
I think a huge part of this is also the timing of it all. Because even myself, like, I go to the movies a lot. But recently, there's been a little bit of slim pickings in the last few months.
This was another, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, just, like, perfect August weekend to open.
Perfect. It was
just
perfect.
Nailed,
and, like,
it's opening.
You know, now at this point, yes, I went and then I saw Sully. I even saw, what was the other movie I just saw that sucked? Something really bad. Oh, oh my God, with the witches, Blair Witch.
Oh,
terrible.
Interesting.
Oh, not really with the witches. Oh, it was awful.
Oh, really?
God.
Not even intriguing.
God, I went on the Friday night, opening night, on Friday, at the Grove, at 6:30, and there were 10 people in the theater.
Shut your mouth!
10 people.
So Zach is letting us know that BVS did $95 million in China. So you put that 95 on top of its, 722 that it's at right now?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you're getting close to those BVS numbers right there. You're getting really close.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it had to do with when it opened. I think a lot of it has to do with Margot and Will. And a lot of it has to do with the DC fandom, people being fans going to see the movie.
I also have to wonder, is like, how many more movies do you think they're going to put $200, $300 million into without making damn sure that it can open in China?
Right.
Like, Marvel practically casts a lot of them for China, and, like, I know, I mean, that's a huge consideration now. Like, I would think that's just so crazy to me that it didn't open in, like, the second biggest market in the world.
I agree.
Really weird.
I agree.
Suicide
Squad.
Because
of Enchantress!
Yeah, I know.
Because of that? Because of this? That's what cost you $100 million.
It was too controversial.
It was the magic stuff. Yeah, it was. And that's the thing. It's not even violence. It's like if it has to do with like.
But I don't think they knew that making it at the time.
But it's still so weird.
It is so silly. Weird.
That's crazy to me.
I mean,
it is. Cut Enchantress out of the whole movie then.
That damn.
Yeah, I don't know. Man.
That dance was not
I'm sure I'm oversimplifying the argument and the reason why, but that's what I've heard, that it has to do with supernatural representation or magic or dark arts or dark magic or something like that. And then there was another movie I know recently that didn't get to open in China for a similar reason.
Yeah.
But that's pretty nuts. But I don't think...
People are also saying it has to do with the title Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can't... So change the title. So change the title for China. Like, there's no way that Warner Brothers wants to leave $100 million on the table.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers isn't about making money, you know, they're just about what's right, sticking to the ground. You know, right. Like,
this is our Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and this is the way it has to be, totally.
Well, we talked about Wonder Woman early, let's bring it back around. Elena Anaya kind of teased her villain role in Wonder Woman. We also got a pretty sweet picture if we want to toss that one.
Yeah,
out there.
So we showed this picture a while ago. We've seen this before. We talked about it a little bit on the show. When was that? Like a month and a half?
Yeah.
Whenever at Comic-Con, right? It was post-Comic-Con when we were really breaking down the trailer.
Yeah. So, yeah, we talked about it then, but now she did have a quote. Johnny, you want to hit us with
it? Oh, yeah. Well, it was a big role in this ensemble, but small role. Why did I see big?
Because big's coming up next.
Right. It was a small role in this big ensemble. But it's an important character in the story. It's directed by Patty Jenkins. Then there's Gal Gadot as our main lead, Chris Pine as her co-lead, and I'm going to be
a big nightmare for the two of them.
So what do you guys think about that? Small role, big ensemble.
So
meaning something down
big
the
nightmare.
Road. Meaning maybe a problem in is Justice League taking place after?
Do you mean
after Wonder Woman?
Oh wait, no, Wonder Woman's a totally different time.
Yeah. It's World War One.
Do you mean in the 2017 year?
Yeah, no, I know, not that. I'm saying I wonder if she's playing a small role, maybe it's something that we're gonna see down the road.
It seems to me that she might be a character that clashed with Diana or her people in the past, and maybe that's how she got scarred. You know, it seems to me like maybe she's bringing, because clearly she's got some like serious facial scarring.
Yeah.
And I think she clashed with the Amazonians, or maybe she clashed with either Diana or someone close to her. Mm. And maybe that person close to Diana got killed, she got scarred, and they come back. So there's going to be some history there.
I see something like that. I also feel like maybe she has a vendetta against Wonder Woman. So even if she's not in the film a whole bunch, like her vendetta starts a whole movement or something happens there. Or she's close to people that end up going against Wonder Woman and against Chris Pine. Like, big, big nightmare for them, but maybe she's not. She's at the core of it, but she's not the entire nightmare.
I saw some people were speculating Circe, spelled C-I-R-C-E. That's a character I'm not familiar with, so I don't know. I don't know what level, but some people were tying the nightmare. Some people were attaching a lot of meaning to the word nightmare. Which I don't know is right or wrong.
Who knows? It's so hard. Sometimes these actors are so specific and particular with their words and thought about it so much. And sometimes she could have just said, a big nightmare for the two of them. Like, a big old nightmare.
Right, but it could also be, like, Warner Brothers PR people saying, this is what you're allowed to say.
Exactly.
Use the word nightmare.
Exactly.
The Neon Empire in capital letters. She is Dr. Poison. Okay.
Dr. Poison. Oh, that's right. I think someone mentioned that before, too.
So, lastly, before we hit TV time, we just got a couple of photos. So, Sofia Vergara, obviously, I'm assuming, is filming some kind of Halloween episode for Modern Family.
I still watch that show. I'm still obsessed with that show. I love Sofia Vergara.
Is it great?
It's brilliant.
Yes. And you know what else I love about Sofia Vergara? Did you guys watch the Emmys this year? Because I know a lot of people didn't.
I did not.
I didn't, but I
watched Kimmel's monologue.
Of the moments in the Emmys, you know how they give out food sometimes? Like last year they did pizza for
the Stranger Things kids.
They did the Stranger Things. The kids came and they gave out sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made from Kimmel's mom, supposedly.
Yummy.
And Sofia Vergara, before anybody else even got it, just started like chowing down. Like she that. Like ripped the bag open and is like eating the crap out of the sandwich.
She probably hadn't eaten for two entire days before that, but after the red carpet.
I just think like she's so fierce and wonderful, and I love her as a power team with Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello. It is Manganiello. Yes, I have a good time imagining, like, oh, my little Deathstroke, come to me, Deathstroke.
Yeah.
I'm just a Wonder Woman. I put the lasso of truth around it. Now you have to tell me everything.
Don't
everything
think,
that's the
like,
truth.
For Lego movie type thing, she would be phenomenal, though.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
That would be so goofy and ridiculous.
Voiceover, she's amazing. I mean, she's amazing. Everything.
Hey, guys. A little bit of news that's just breaking right now. Suicide Squad star Margot Robbie is going to be hosting the SNL season premiere.
Yeah.
And the Suicide Squad, the album, is the only soundtrack this year to go gold.
Wow.
It's a great
hard
soundtrack.
Thing for any album to do anymore
They did that brilliantly, because remember, we even played a couple music videos way before Suicide Squad came out. We had Heathens. That was a great song.
Which is a really good song.
And
I gotta
then
say, it's catchy as a mofo.
Then there's that song that had Wheezy in it. I forget, damn it, whose song actually was it?
Different Wheezy than the Jeffersons we're talking about.
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Okay.
It's Wheezy, baby.
Was it?
Wheezy.
Yeah.
Someone.
I don't know.
Chat roll, help me out. Who's the rapper that put the song out in the video? Wheezy was in it. Skinny dude, I can't think of his name. Holler at me.
The other thing that is breaking right now is, of course, Blue Apron. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by supporting more sustainable food system. This is the thing that I always tell people. You could spend the same $10 per meal through Blue Apron, or you can go out and spend it at a restaurant, a fast casual place. Which is, you're not going to get the value unless, of course, you go to Doghouse Dogs. Mm-hmm. but what we get, this is actually a big obsession to mine, is being healthier and showing people that you can be indulgent, you can eat good, but you have to eat healthy. And the problem when you go out to eat, you don't know what's in the food. With this food, it's very nutritious. The seafood is sourced sustainably. The beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free range. The pork is raised naturally. Why is that important? Because the way you get cheaper meats is by pumping it full of a lot of hormones and antibiotics that allows the animals to get fatter, bigger, meatier, quicker, and it inoculates them from disease caused by raising them in conditions which they're not meant to be. It's a very quick version of why it's important to eat better quality food. So Blue Apron is sourcing all this food together and passing the value off to you. Now, those who spend a lot eating out at high-end grocery chains, you could spend $10, like I just said. Some of the meals available in September. You have paprika, spiced shrimp, and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Spicy hoisin chicken stir fry with baby bok choy, which is just like bok choy, but cuter.
Baby bok choy.
and sesame ginger cucumber salad. Eggplant and chickpea tagine. Again, tagine, that's that Moroccan inspired with island pepper, tomato, and couscous.
Yummy.
Tiny little pasta balls. Summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes. So you see, it's a wide variety of some vegetarian, some
delicious,
non-vegetarian stuff. Let's see. You got
I had their scallops.
Tell me about it.
So delicious. I actually a date cooked them for me, and he told me that he got a meal for two from Blue Apron, and he made scallops. They were so bomb.
Nice,
like, delicious. Tasted like
How'd
I was in the frickin' ocean. date didn't work out.
Okay.
The scallops were definitely the best part of it.
I also always tell people, if you're not a cook, this is how you can learn to cook, and you do want to learn to cook. Don't be stupid. And each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe, pre-portioned ingredients, and be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So you're not going to have to buy an ingredient that's going to sit in your fridge or in your counter for months and months and months, because when you go through Blue Apron, you're going to get what you need to cook with.
What you need.
Yes.
What you need.
So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/movie news.
By the way, that song was Wiz Khalifa and Wheezy. And lastly, let's show a picture of Cyborg, because holy crap, he's in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Cyborg went to blueapron.com/movie news.
He's leaning, man.
Look at this guy. Like, he's...
Look at him crossfitting.
He's spending a lot of time in the box.
He is ripped.
Yeah, they better lay off the CG on Cyborg's costume, because, I mean, he's supposed to be like a professional-level elite athlete before his accident, so I buy that.
I didn't even know that there were that many pockets for abs. Like, how many
That's
abs?
That's at least a 12 or 14-pack right there.
Yeah,
it's almost like his chest
are
two abs, too, because, like, his chest muscle... Yeah.
Never had more than
of course,
pack.
When this came out, Johnny, did you see the meme where they showed, like, every Justice League character and how in shape they are, and then they showed Ben Affleck, like, eating ice cream or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's
like, if you could find
point.
That, throw it up there. It's really, really funny and ridiculous.
That's funny, man.
Ridonkulous.
What is this? Do you guys know if he's doing any movies, like, before then? I know he was a big, like, Broadway actor and stuff,
let's
but where are we going to...
With IMDb.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm wondering what projects, because he's just got all the time... you know, he's presumably they're just about done with Justice League. Mm-hmm. And then the rumor is that we're going to see Cyborg next in the Flash movie.
No, it's looking like, yeah.
So, yeah.
Cyborg, Justice League, Flash.
And the Flash, which is rumored. So, this is a guy, this is, what a way to burst out of the scene, right?
It's just insane. Yeah. I mean, you look at the two Star Wars kids, they didn't have a lot going on before.
But either. I love that he's taking it so seriously that he's like, okay, this is a once-in-a-lifetime shot. This is like the if opportunity. You
had one shot.
I just want to say this.
So now you talk about Weezy, you talk about Eminem.
As a defense to everybody, I don't know any of these people. As a defense to anyone else that is not in that good of shape, I think it's a lot easier to get in that kind of shape when you've got a team of people whose job it is to get you in that kind of shape, and you're getting paid very well to be in these movies.
Let's also talk about right now, if he's not in any other films, literally all he has to do with his day, I'm assuming, is just like work out, eat well, and start working on the role, read comics. Like, that's what you're doing right now. That's your job currently.
I would sell Roxy to anyone for that job. I would.
How much am I going for?
For that. Straight up trade. Mm. I get to do that, read comics,
and they get me?
Eat, work out. They have you, and let me tell you, she's fresh, she's clean, and hardly used up at all.
What's next,
Johnny?
That's so sweet.
TV time.
Thank you so much.
Speaking of which,
it's time for
Roxy Stars TV time. Sing along with me this time.
Roxy Stars TV time.
She thinks that the Flash is fine.
DC movie news, it's time to talk.
TV time!
Okay. So first, let's go through a little bit of news. The first one is that Arrow got a poster for season 5 that's looking pretty hot. That's like an H-A-W-T, hot.
That's right.
You know, here we go. We're checking it out. He's looking real serious this season, unlike the other seasons. Just kidding. He looks pretty much the same all the time.
Yeah.
So we got that poster. That was cool. We also, I don't know, Zach, if you could pull this up because I don't think we sent it to you, but there's a new Legend of Tomorrow poster. Where we see our new team members. We're getting a couple new team members. Legends isn't coming for a little bit. Arrow's a little closer, but definitely cool to check out this poster
as
well.
Yeah, so we see Vixen in the poster, and it's like Steel, Captain Steel, Max Steel, Mr. Steel Man. Steel Magnolias is in the picture as well.
Yeah, they call him Steel Magnolias for sure. Right. That's definitely what he goes by. That's the preference. Commander Steel.
So here's what I know a little bit about Legends this year, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit more anthology style in that I think it's going to be more, not really an anthology, but more like a Quantum Leap kind of thing. I don't think there's one overarching big bad that they're going to be hunting. I think every 3 episodes or so, it's going to kind of mix up.
Okay.
Which I personally really want to see.
Cool.
I want to see that kind of storytelling. Like, keep telling me a story, a new story. And I think Legends really lends itself to a little bit more of a rotating cast,
which you can kind of tune in whenever.
And just it keeps it more interesting because sometimes I feel like the story is so protracted over 23 episodes that you kind of tune out and you feel like you're just stretching. I think this could help keep the stakes up and get a lot of more minor characters in there where you're always testing out to see where they can pop up again.
Exactly. There's so many options.
I agree. We also have a little Supergirl news. We got our first video of Superman in action.
Yes. Are we going to watch that?
Yeah, let's check it out.
Can we see Superman in action?
I do think it's worth it. I mean, you know, we've had mixed opinions on whether we need Superman in this universe, whether Tyler Hoechlin's the right one, whatever it is, but definitely it's cool to see on TV Superman flying. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and I also have some inside information that people were some people close to these shows were just as surprised as everyone else that Berlanti was able to get the permission to use Superman. Mm-hmm. Like, he did it because Berlanti has done so well for these guys. Yeah. I think that Berlanti wanted Superman, and they gave Berlanti Superman.
Good.
Benefit
good
of the
them.
Doubt. Yeah.
And I think he really called it in, and like, say never.
We'll check it out whenever we can then. Here we go.
One thing, I think the effects look really good. I mean, but that's not surprising.
I like seeing Calista. Something catastrophic. Monday, October 10th.
There he is. I mean, that's pretty good.
The bird is playing.
And that's a real cape. That's not a Snyder digital cape.
We can only hope wherever he is. She's watching this. He's seeing this.
Yeah. That one shot of him. the two of them up
like
there.
That.
That's so crazy. Remember when the show started, they go, sorry, we're never going to see Superman. One season in, they're like, hey, there he is.
They said we do not have any plans.
Because they're relaunching the thing, and I think this is really smart to get people to rediscover the show on CW, retooled. Right. I think it's a really, really smart idea. And yeah, I think he's only going to be on a couple of episodes. Like, I don't know how much you're going to see him throughout the season.
Well, he doesn't live where she lives, and he's her cousin, and presumably he's coming in.
But why should that matter to Superman? He could literally live anywhere and be anywhere like that.
Yeah, he could, but she, if you watch the show, she's very determined to make this her city, be the protector, and be the one who's on top of it, and she really tries not to ask for his help. So if he's coming in, it's either one of two things. Number one, something's going on with their family, and something's up there, or number two, something is so over her head that she desperately needs his help. Well, we've seen her go through so many things that have been problems and her not call him. I think it probably has to do with the pod.
Gotta be something big. We did hear some the actress that plays Kara's adopted sister.
Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, she's going to have a lot of tension with Superman because...
Sibling rivalry.
And, like, he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Cousin wasn't there. And she kind of, like, grew up with her. I do agree with you. I think that it's less powerful if Superman's always showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like my big complaint why there's, like, 60 guys with arrows. Like, it takes away from Ollie's training and his ability and all the things that he's done. Let me ask you, while we're talking about that, what do you think about this being the end of the flashbacks for Arrow?
Yes, please. Thank you.
You ready for that to finally happen?
Are you kidding me, Adam? Is there anybody in the world who isn't ready for that to finally happen? The flashbacks, I literally at this point, I loved the flashbacks the first time we saw them. And even the second season a little bit. But at this point, I didn't care about the flashback storyline to the point where it didn't even relate anymore. Like, it jumped the shark so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that. I'm so ready for that to be done.
Well, I think next year, the rumor I've heard is that for season 6, Ollie's going to flash back to when he's 5 years old. So he's 5 years old and in the present time. So a lot of it has to do with, like, his first year at kindergarten, negotiating a lot of that stuff.
I don't even want to, like, humor this joke because I can't deal with any more flashbacks.
It's real.
It's real.
I know people.
All right.
It's so real.
You know what's real?
What up?
TV being on because it's the fall. That's real. Now, I have to admit something out loud. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of slack.
Sure, you don't want to whisper in my ear first. So, like, all the people that, like, because I think right now you haven't made too many people pissed off.
I haven't pissed anybody off yet.
And I think right now if you're about to say something that's going to change that.
Yeah, I know I'm going to piss people off.
All right, cool. Go for it.
Piss people off.
I'm going to piss people off. I found out that Lucifer aired while sitting at this table.
Oh, yeah.
47 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Because of lack of...
Because I said, Adam, I'm so excited to talk about Gotham.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, and Lucifer. And I was like, well, Lucifer doesn't air until next week. And he's like, well, Lucifer aired on Monday. And so literally that's how little Lucifer has been on my radar, which is sad because I really like that show. Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, I watch a lot of TV. I haven't seen it in commercials. I haven't seen it in billboards. I haven't seen it anywhere. And I love that show. I'm excited to watch. But just so you guys know, for conversation purposes right now, I did not see Lucifer, but we will talk about it next week for sure. I'll make sure we get on that.
I didn't see it either. The only reason I knew that a new one aired is because I saw it on my DVR.
Yeah,
I
didn't know. But we can talk about Gotham because I watched that. I know you watched that. And I was really surprised. I was really surprised. I watched
it. In what
way? Because I was watching it, you know, going into this, we were like, too many villains. What's happening? What's going on? I thought it was entertaining from start to finish. I think it's weird. I think they might be going in a strange direction, but I was really entertained the whole time. I was
Did you
like,
watch it?
I did not. Didn't have time.
So I got to tell you.
What?
I'm 10 episodes behind from last season, and I saw that as too daunting a task, so I watched the premiere. And when we first meet Barbara Keene, I was like, man, there it is again. Her acting just seems like it's so campy and out there.
I love it.
But it was the only thing that took me out. And then I really liked the episode a lot. I like Gordon a lot. And I like that it was Gordon Bullock again.
I like Gordon
again.
A lot, too. And I like the Gordon Bullock stuff.
And I freaking liked Bruce Wayne
team.
A lot.
I liked him, too. And the meeting, him going in and being, like, kind of bad.
He's kind of a dick. He should be a dick.
Yeah, and he's like, this is the thing. And I love Alf. I'm
also,
in.
Growth spurt much? Did that kid, like, sprout up a little bit?
I feel like he's, like, started shaving and stuff, you know?
Like that he's, kid, like, 42 years old.
Yeah, David's getting older now.
Also, the pseudo homosexual, homoerotic sort of relationship between not just Barbara Keene and her awesome people.
Which, and then that was so cool when they come behind and the...
Oh my God, yeah, they were great
scenes. I gotta admit, I liked Barbara Keene a lot last season.
I did too.
The wacky Barbara
Keene. But also between, I'm talking about homoeroticism between Penguin and Riddler. And again, I'm 10 episodes behind, so I didn't know a lot of what they're talking about, but...
You didn't miss much there.
But it was cool, man. It was like, it seemed honest. And that's my biggest problem with this show is when tonally it's so wonky. Like, I want it to stay in one lane, and then sometimes it really goes out there and takes me into a total different
lane. I kind of thought this was wonky, but wonky in a positive way. Like, whoa.
It has my interest, and I'm actually looking forward to the next episode. And I will give a shout out to our brethren across the aisle. I thought Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had one of the best premieres.
Really? I didn't watch it.
I thought they did Ghost Rider really well. I mean, Ghost Rider. To me, looked better than I'd seen it in the movies.
And cool. Actually, here's an amazing little story. So the guy that owns the theater company that I'm a part of in Sherman Oaks, Brian Rasmussen, was actually in the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Here's the crazy thing. He had a heart attack over the weekend.
Oh, dear.
And turns out he only needed one stent, and they sent him home. He was back at the theater with us Tuesday night right after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered. So his life went from like... Just
what?
Yeah, pretty amazing story.
What kind of theater? What were you doing? What was
the shorts we do, the comedic shorts, original things. Like, I wrote one last round and we did that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well,
and then one other thing I just want to mention is Telltale Episode 2, which is practically more TV time than a video game. I started playing that last night, and it's fun. It's really fun, and like, you really have to put yourself in like Bruce Wayne's shoes. Like, how do I answer smart, but a little emotional, but give my own flavor to it?
Okay.
And like, because in the first episode, I was a little excessively violent. Like, I really messed up Carmine Falcone a little bit more.
Good maybe job.
I was a little rough, but you feel the repercussions of that. It's super fun. So cool. I hope everybody's playing that can.
That's awesome.
That's all I got.
All right.
Good deal. With that said, I guess we're at DC Movies SK, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Adam Gertler, why don't you put yourself over?
Yes, I'm sure we got some good movies coming up on FX Movie Download Friday nights on FX, but they replay them all the time on Saturdays and Sundays and all that, so check that out. Man vs. Child, not sure when that's coming back, but go to FYI.com and check those out. Put my meat in your mouth with Doghouse Dogs.
Hell yeah.
And look me up online at Adam Gertler on Twitter, Instagram, and we can chat about all geeky movie fun stuff.
I feel very honored because I'm sitting in between two Twitter verified hosts. Right. Like, this must be professional AF because you guys both have that check mark. I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, over at Screen Junkies, Tuesdays 4 p.m. for TV Fights. Or, of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're starting a new show called Flash and Friends. I say it like that because I saw a lot of you guys in there saying, wow, flashing friends?
Yeah, no, Roxy will be flashing her friends.
Flash and Friends. And those friends are Arrow, Supergirl, and the Legend of Tomorrow team. We talk about all four of those. That will be Wednesdays, 1 p.m. If you want a season one recap, season two recap of Flash, those will be coming out this Wednesday. After that, we will be actually talking about the shows because they're airing, which will make our TV time here so much more fun.
Yeah, woo! Party on at show Jake Quasto.
Flash those friends?
Flash and Friends.
Yeah,
show me later.
At Jake Quasto, this, by the way, if you're interested in this shirt, this cool little clothing company called Invaders Clothing, they actually sent me some swag. They're a paranormal clothing company. And I figured, what are better than wear it than on the DC Movie News Show? So go to invadersclothing.com if you want to check out their stuff. They're pretty cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
Let's see. I'm headlining the Brea Improv October 19th, and then we're doing a big blood drive at Fountain Valley Regional Hospital in Orange County. So if you're anywhere near Orange County, please hit me up. We need your blood. The hospital is in desperate need. And then Houston, Texas, November 4th and 5th, I'm going to be at the Joke Joint. So just hit me up. So I'll tell you how to get there as well. Other than that, guys, follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. We love you. We'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
I promise you, the dawn is coming.